Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
Well, this is episode number 148 with Eleni Theodorou. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Eleni Theodorou, we explore a number of interesting topics like success doesn't come overnight, you always have a choice, and the power of diet on our emotions. Now, Eleni is the author of a really fantastic book, which is called Noko the Night. And part of it is understanding compassion, part of it is understanding anti-bullying, and part of it too is understanding balance. So today's podcast upgrade is how to create a Zen Den, which you can download at betterleadersbetterschools.com/148-Eleni-Theodorou, or you can click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Are you attending the Mastery Leadership Institute this summer in Salt Lake City? You know, educators are great. They're great at collecting data. But how do your teachers use that data in real time? Learn how to stop just collecting data and to start using it at the Mastery Leadership Institute. Learn more about this event, including the locations and dates, at masteryconnect.com/MLI. That's masteryconnect.com/MLI. Well, hey there, better leaders. Today, I'm joined by Eleni Theodorou, who is an anti-bullying educator and children's author. She holds a bachelor's and honors degree in psychology from the University of Pretoria in South Africa and a master's degree in sports psychology from Capella University in the United States. Born and raised in South Africa, she currently lives in the U.S., where she teaches children the art of compassion through her tales and her accompanying multi-sensory anti-bullying program called Noko's Culture of Compassion Campaign. Her program is currently being integrated into school curriculum via various boards of education in New Jersey with exciting and lasting results. Theodorou is also a dedicated volunteer to special needs children, senior citizens, and animal shelters, and is an actively involved in community-focused endeavors. Eleni, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be a part of your show. Thank you for having me.
So I see in the bio, you know, that you volunteer at animal shelters, and then Noko in that book series is, you know, based on an animal, right? And is there something there? Was there a pet when you were growing up? Or I don't know, but is there a connection?
Oh, absolutely there is. I was very fortunate to grow up with a number of different pets, a menagerie of pets, if you will, and currently have an extraordinary pet, a little leopard gecko. But my heart is extended beyond our children into our animals as well, to teaching individuals that the way we treat each other also impacts animals as well. They do have feelings, they do respond to our energy, and it's our duty to help them and take care of them as well. So not only do I teach children about the power of their choice and how they treat each other, but that animals also need our support and that we're able to actively help them and uplift them. The Humane Society of America did a study and showed that there's a direct correlation between pet abuse and domestic violence. And this is why I choose to bring it into my program as well, showing children that it is important for us to understand that these animals have feelings too. They also need to be taken care of and nurtured.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been a dog guy my whole life. I had a cat at one time too. Then I found out, Eleni, that I'm allergic to cats.
Oh, so no.
I had to, my best friend, shout out to Casey, who was just a courageous soul and took care of the cat. But Yeah, I've had dogs my whole life. And speaking of them needing to be taken care of, you know, they also take care of us and in such profound
ways.
And probably to this day, my last dog was probably the emotionally intelligent being that I know, because she knew, right? She knew what was going on with me.
Right.
And I feel like she was was able to give me too in those moments exactly what I needed to either calm down or get excited or whatever you have.
Absolutely. And that's why pets have also been proven to be such valuable members of the family, especially with regard to our elders. You know, they're a great source of emotional support to them. And studies have shown that pets that are lost to elders has caused deep, immense emotional distraught to their owners once they pass. So they do add a beautiful and valuable aspect to our relationship.
Lainey, where did you get your start in terms of this passion for your compassion campaign and anti-bullying? Where does that stem from?
In all honesty, I inadvertently became an anti-bullying educator. My background is in psychology, as you mentioned earlier. I had worked with children in South Africa and neighboring African countries, as well as United Kingdom and the United States. I veered off slightly for a few years, ended up in corporate, and then was just drawn back into education. My mom, however, was a teacher when I was growing up, and she remembered that I'd written a story about a porcupine that really stood out and encouraged me to write the book, Noko the Night. She told me to figure it out and get it printed, so I did. I then realized how much I had missed working with children and their families, and slowly but surely started putting various activities together. And before I knew it, I ended up with an anti-bullying program teaching children the art of compassion, where I use porcupine quills because the story is about a porcupine. I also have guinea fowl feathers to contrast, and essential oils and various exercises that we do throughout. So you can just see on social media what's happening out there, and that, you know, children are not being offered too many opportunities to practice their compassion and to truly understand how their actions impact another. So I've taken the opportunity to use my tale to put this program together and to give children a concrete hands-on experience where they get to feel the quills, they feel how sharp those quills are, and translating that to, you know, what we say to each other, how we say to each other, and physically how we treat each other. And they truly grasp that message. When they feel those quills, they realize, wow, this is truly sharp, you know, and that they have the power of choice. They can choose to be kind and compassionate. And that's where the feather comes in, because I then tickle them with a feather and they're like, wow, this really does feel good. And you see them just melt as you tickle them. And then I have my, you know, my slogan, quills or feathers, pain or pleasure. And they obviously make the wise choice there. So in a roundabout way, I just felt the strong need to be back involved with the children on my purposeful path. And it truly has been an extraordinary experience. And I absolutely love what I do with the children.
The immersive experience, you know, you just painted that picture for us, sounds absolutely wonderful. And the quills and feathers are such powerful metaphors, even though I'm not there with you right now, you know, getting poked or tickled, like I can still feel it, right? I can imagine what that's like. And what a powerful experience for the kids.
Absolutely. And I encourage the children to write me a letter at the end of the session telling me what they learned and what it means to them. I've gotten some of the most amazing letters from the children, because the program offers children an opportunity for cognitive flexibility. Let them understand how it impacts another person and what it means to the rest of the tribe, to the rest of the community. And I then ask the children to please take what they've learned in my session and share it with their brothers and sisters at home and with their families, so that we can take our message of compassion, kindness, and forgiveness from the classroom through into their home as well.
Well, I love about that, it reminds me of this acronym I learned 2 years ago, ILT, but that just stands for invest, learn, and teach. And so you're empowering these kids to be masters of their own sort of compassion, like individual personal compassion campaigns.
Absolutely.
And after they, you know, engage with you, you're encouraging them, go home, teach your family, tell your siblings.
Right.
And it really ingrains in their memory, right? What the message is that you're trying to teach.
Absolutely. I have several free resources on my website as well for educators and parents to download, which includes a one-pager of questions that parents can discuss with their children at bedtime, because that's often when we're most open to, you know, questions and talking about our day. And every school I work with gets a complimentary copy of my tale, Noko the Night. And I've been fortunate so far that the various schools, school districts that I've worked with have actually generously offered a copy of my tale to each of the students that have been a part of my program. So having their copy of the book coupled with the free resources, the children are able to, we're able to embed that message of compassion and kindness on a regular basis. Every school I work with also gets a free lesson plan from me that I've created so the teacher could pick and choose each section that she's able to fill in, or he, and work with the students, all touching on emotional intelligence, learning about our behavior, learning about bonding and compassion naturally. So there are several supportive tools that I have available for educators to implement in the classroom. I'm further carrying that message of kindness and compassion.
Awesome. And we'll talk about this at the end of the show, but real quick, since people are excited, where can they get the resources?
Oh, absolutely. At my website, nokothenight.com. That's where all of the exciting stuff is happening, including a video of Noko the Night that was showcased at the State Theatre in South Africa last year. So if the teachers need a 10-minute break, there's a cute little video of Noko the Night on stage as well.
I love it. This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, podcasts for educators and podcasts by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. And let's go back to that advice your mom gave you. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I might have forgot what she said, but was it write it down and figure out how to get it published? Was that essentially what she said?
Tough love, yes. So basically, we had a conversation. She'd recalled that I'd taken a course in play therapy in South Africa, and that part of the assignment was they'd given us a case study and asked us to write a story so the child in the case study could relate and thereby open rapport with the child for us to work with them. I handed that piece of paper in and forgot about it, and my mom seemed to have remembered us talking about that. And she goes, you know, you were always good at creative writing. Why don't you just put pen to paper? And I was like, oh, what do I know about publishing a book, Mom? She's like, figure it out.
Yeah.
So before I knew it, I had it self-published, and we were actually invited by the South African Consul General in New York City to host the launch of the first book. And I am launching my second book later this year in October, and I've been invited again by the South African Consulate to host the launch of the second book, which focuses on cultural diversity and the appreciation thereof.
That's fantastic. And what I love about that advice too, you know, it's an example of tough love, but I was listening to a podcast, of course I was, you know, recently,
yep.
And Tony Robbins was the guest, and the podcast was James Altucher, and they were talking about leadership RPM, okay? And I want to boil it down for the listeners real quick, but it's illustrated through what your mom said.
Right.
If she said, figure out how to get it published, you would have been frozen, right? Because there's a million steps and a million things that you don't know in terms of being a first-time author, how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And to put that in the leadership context, right? There's a new initiative you're trying to push through, whatever. There's something that you want to change about your organization, your school. But how do you do it? Who knows? You get frozen.
Right.
So you have to go back to the why. Like, what is the vision? What is the reason that you're getting out of bed to write the book? And then the what, you know, what is the outcome that you want? And for you, I'm guessing it was to be published, maybe try to hit some type of different list, to have speaking opportunities, to change, you know, kids' lives and discuss bullying and compassion and kindness and these kind of things.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to diverge just a second to illustrate that for the listeners, but it's because I want listeners to not get stuck in the weeds of how to get something done, but go back to the drawing board, really clearly understand your why and then the what in terms of the outcomes you want to experience.
That's right.
And I'm curious, you're saying that's right. So how did that play out for you a bit when your mom's saying, write it down, get it published, and you're like, oh gosh, now what do I do, right?
Well, fortunately, I'm very curious by nature. So I love to read, I love to learn. So I spent many hours burning the midnight oil trying to figure out how to get this book published. And, you know, obviously chose the self-publishing route and, you know, followed the forums and advice other people had written online. And realized that it was up to me. If it's meant to be, it's up to me. So I also have a very strong sense, or how can I say, I have the strong need to serve the community as well. And so I first had to figure out how to get that book published, how to market it, which we did, and then started digging in deep to reach out to schools individually and to let them know, look, I have this book. It's a deep passion of mine. It's part of my purposeful path to teach children the art of compassion. This is what it entails. And before I knew it, I had different districts calling me up, having learned of my program through various people I had done work pro bono for, actually. And now we're rolling through the school system and in New Jersey in particular. And it's been an extraordinary experience and a very rewarding one at that.
A lot of my listeners have very active social media profiles. They are consistent in terms of creating valuable content via their blogs. Mm-hmm. And some of them are either already published authors or aspiring to be authors. So what advice would you have to the listeners that have a book in them? Maybe it's school leadership related, or maybe it's, you know, tangentially related to what we do. But what advice would you have for aspirational authors?
First and foremost, I would say have realistic expectations. I went all gung-ho, went in full steam ahead, and came to realize that success is definitely not going to come overnight. It does take a lot of hard work, a lot of patience with yourself as well, and not to give up, to keep on putting one foot in front of the other. Eventually, when the time is right, it will all fall into place, provided that you've done the work. You know, do as much reading as you can, find, you know, information that resonates with you as to which path you would like to take. And honestly, just don't give up. It's been a couple of years of a lot of hard work, but at the end of the day, you know, we're living out our purposeful path, and it truly is special.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, in the school leader context too, if you're never going to do a book, but you're just, again, trying to implement change or whatever, it's trust in the process and not getting stuck when things haven't changed after a day, a week, a month. Like, right. Change takes years, right? And so for you, success, right, takes years too.
Right.
Same thing for us as school leaders. So I really appreciate these insights, and thank you so much for sharing them.
Thank you.
The listeners are really interested in routines and rituals that my guests have that they feel help make them very successful. So do you, Eleni, have any type of routines or rituals that help you have an impactful day?
Absolutely, I do. Well, to be honest with you, I'm not a morning person.
Okay.
I have to make myself one. So I start my day with some good salsa music. I love to dance. I get that going. It lifts my spirits and I get moving. That's how I get my day started. Once I've gotten ready for my day, I then sit down to reflect on what I am blessed with and how I can use my gift to help others and lead an impactful day. So that's what I tend to do on a daily basis, including weekends, and then just go ahead into my day with an optimistic outlook and dealing with any challenge that comes my way as an opportunity to learn and to grow from that. You know, once I've had that reflective time, I then take a look at my emails and trot off into the new day.
I love that because, you know, again, leaders like getting up, moving around, having some type of routine to wake up,
right,
and being others focused is what I heard too. And
yes,
listeners, you know, did you catch Eleni as well? She's not checking email first thing in the morning. So I've been talking about this on the podcast for years now.
Right.
And if you're new to the show, don't check email when you first wake up, okay? That's everybody else's priorities for you.
Mm-hmm.
Something might come across the inbox that's going to make you mad and trigger you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to figure out how to deal with it. Have a routine. So, Eleni, yeah, thank you for sharing that one that you have with the listeners.
My pleasure.
Derek Sivers has a quote, which I love. What is ordinary to you is extraordinary to me. And when you hear that, Eleni, what do you think in terms of what your superpower is?
My superpower, I would have to say it's in my ability to tell stories, to captivate children, not only through my creative writing and my tales, but also in its delivery. I've noticed I've had some students that just float away as I'm telling them my story about Knock of the Night, and then they get transported to another land as I read to them. But this, coupled with my ability to engage students as we discuss the prickly topic of bullying and the impact it has on the tribe and the community at large, I feel that may be my superpower.
Yeah. For sure. And thinking of the book and, you know, the resources you provide and the workshops you provide schools, in the past year, what are you most particularly proud of accomplishing?
Well, not only being granted the opportunity by various school districts to bring my Culture of Compassion program to their schools, but even more so how the children I work with realize their value and how valuable their contribution is, that they matter and that they have the power of choice, choosing to do what is right within any hairy situation. So in all honesty, the impact that we're having, the lasting impact that we're having with the children, that is what I'm most proudest of.
What do you talk to the kids about regarding choice? Because I'm sure there's lessons there too, you know, for school leaders, for all of us, because we all have power, the power of choice in respect to every situation we find ourselves.
Yes.
So I'm wondering what those universal truths are that you talk about so that we could apply it to leadership in school setting.
Sure. So part of the story, or the crux of the story in my tale, Noko the Night, is when Noko the porcupine hurts his friend the snake in the bush veld in the forest upon hearing some news that his parents are expecting a bit new baby. And so I spin those questions about bullying and, you know, the importance of standing up for each other and protecting and supporting our tribe off of that point in my story. So I have children understand, or at least reflect on, the feelings they felt when they were picked on, whether it be in school or outside of school. What did it let them feel like? So I have them really and truly feel those feelings again. And then I have them understand that bullying does not only impact the bully and the victim or the person being picked on. It affects the whole classroom, all the witnesses. It affects the school. It affects their families, because how can mom and dad truly concentrate at work if they see that their child is not doing well, that the child is stressed out, being picked on, and then how that then affects the family's potential to earn. Because at the end of the day, bullying does cost the economy. The economy is affected by bullying on a larger scale. So I have children understand that they have the power to stand up, to speak up, and it's the right thing to do when we see that someone is being hurt on a regular basis. And I should point out that it is very clear to the children, I make it very clear to them, that there's a difference between a once-off teasing and actual bullying, which happens on a regular basis with the aim to hurt or harm. So they then, through our chants as well, I have them chanting, "Yes, I am a knight. I choose to do what's right" on a regular basis. And then I obviously have them feel the quills and the feathers, and they then know, listen, it's up to me to make the right choice to stand up for my tribe, my family at school and my family at home.
Do you come up with all these great one-liners, "If it's meant to be, it's up to me," and "being a knight and choosing what's right"? Or are those things passed down through the family, or where do they come from?
Yeah, actually it does. No, honestly, I don't know. I would like to think it's divine inspiration. They just come to me at different points. I also wrote the theme song for Noko the Night. I was very fortunate to work with a wonderful producer in Jersey City, and the lyrics to the song are also pretty powerful. So I like to rhyme. I like to play around with words, and it needs to stick for the children as well. Yeah, you know, and I have them understand that a knight can be a girl or a boy. I have them explain to me what a knight is, and then translate it back to Noko the Night, and then as to how they can be a knight for their school and for their friends. You know, why should we stick up for our friends? But yeah, it sticks, because when I go back to the schools to deliver their books, I autograph a book for each of the students that are part of my program.
Oh, that's great.
And I ask them, "So what was my slogan again?" "Yes, I am." And then they repeat it, "Yes, I am a knight. I choose to do what's right." And then they get all hyped up on that, which is amazing.
It's awesome. It's so powerful when you have those words, you know, communicated in a sticky fashion.
Yes.
But, you know, it becomes principles in those young kids' lives, those teachers' lives that hear it, the leaders' lives that hear it, and you're helping out. You know, it's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely, because I have the children understand that their words and the way they treat other people impacts not only people their age, but adults too. It also hurts an adult's feelings if we're being sassy with them or disrespectful with them. So I don't just keep it, you know, the message amongst the students. I try and broaden it out for them as well. So they think twice before they send that text or before they're sassy with the next person. We touch on cyberbullying as well a bit as well, and letting them understand that everything is traceable on the internet these days, and that their reactions are priceless.
Yeah, I'm
sure. We have them think twice before they text or send any images.
The shock and horror, the wave of despair that
absolutely
goes across their faces. Oh, man. Hey, Danny Sunshine here, and I'd like to tell you a little more about the Mastery Leadership Institute taking place this summer in Salt Lake City. This event is an intensive 3-day professional development retreat facilitated by nationally recognized principals. Educators will be immersed in full-day workshops focused on strategies to effectively use data to target interventions, personalize learning, and evaluate instructional efficacy. True school transformation is only possible when educators are empowered to use the data they collect to immediately impact teaching and learning. Learn more about the Mastery Leadership Institute, including upcoming dates and locations, at masteryconnect.com/MLI. That's masteryconnect.com/MLI. So the Culture of Compassion campaign, is this, you delivered in a one-day workshop? Is this a multi-day event, or how does that work?
Well, I have several different programs available. Most schools have opted for the one-hour program, where I then work in groups of 20 to 25 students at a time. So often districts would bring me in with different groups ranging from kindergarten through to grade 5, and I obviously tailor the program according to the age groups. And I start off by doing various brain-based activities to cross that midline to get their little brain switched on, and mine too, mind you. And I then move into reading my story. I have various breaks at certain points in my story where we do various activities as well. And then I move into Noko's Indaba. So an Indaba in the Zulu tribe is a beautiful tradition where the chiefs of the tribe and the elders of the tribes come together to solve any problems the tribe might be experiencing. And I have the students understand that they are the chiefs. They're the wise ones. And we're going to talk about Noko's behavior and come up with solutions as to how he could have treated his friend better. And that's where we move into the bullying questions, the Q&A. And once I'm done with that, they get to feel the quills and the feather, and we discuss it a little bit more. And I have them also understand why a bully acts the way that they do. So I try and offer them an opportunity for understanding that a bully, in essence, is someone who makes poor choices, that they're not a bad person, but they have not got the skills to treat others with kindness and compassion. We don't know what happens outside of school with this individual. We don't know what their past experiences are, and that we need to cultivate a sense of patience and understanding amongst those around us, as opposed to isolating them or scolding them for their behavior.
So interesting. It reminds me a lot of a restorative practices approach to discipline, in the sense where, you know, the kids, again, they're empowered within these situations, and it's a community response too. It's not just one judge or arbiter, you know, right, what's going to happen in terms of consequences. But, you know, we can act very maturely even at a young age, right? As a student coming together,
absolutely,
yeah, community response and having that tribe mentality is a really incredible approach that you have, and way to honor the culture too.
Thank you. Yes. And they enjoy it tremendously. They love to learn. They love to learn about South Africa. They love to learn the fact that I have a Zulu name as well, and the meaning of that name too. So I was blessed with the name Ulungile when I was their age in school by my teacher, and they have a good giggle when I tell them it means the well-behaved one.
Oh boy.
So yes, they get a bit of a cultural experience as well through this program.
Ulugine, and the kid that behaves well. I'm guessing you earned that nickname possibly, huh?
I hope so. Oh, yeah.
When I was in South Africa, I worked with a school, their staff and their administrators over 3 summers. So I spent about 30 days in total working with this group. They're from the Xhosa tribe, and you know, there's a click in there, but I don't do it justice, so I'm not going to try. They gave me the name Lulamile, which I love, which means gentle and humble. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah. And one of the really neat things too is now Mandla Higa, who's the principal of that school, mm-hmm, he's a member of the mastermind. So when I work with school leaders every single week,
wonderful,
you know, it just brings an incredible perspective, you know, to the group.
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
You know, what do you think is one class we should add to our schools that's not currently taught that you know of?
So one class I feel should be integral to the curriculum would be teaching children about emotional intelligence. I think it is important for children to understand the different types of emotion, the range of emotions, that it's okay to experience and express those emotions, but also teach them how to effectively express those emotions, that they can't just act out impulsively. And that's also part of what I teach the children. I have a nice big poster of a dinosaur as part of my slideshow. show that my presentation, and I asked them, are you dinosaurs or are you in charge of your emotions? And they explained, no, I'm in charge. I'm a knight. I choose to do what's right. And they also, I also have children understand the impact of their diet on their emotions. Hmm. So the stomach is the second brain. Mm-hmm. We do need to understand that children need nourishing foods in order for their brains to function optimally, for them to do well in school. So I try to explain that to them on a very basic level as well. You know, are there drive-throughs in the bushveld? And they're like, no. Are the rivers made out of soda? No. What do the animals in the bushveld need to eat and drink in order to be fit, fast, and smart? And then they explain to me, fresh forest food. So coming back to your question, emotional intelligence is definitely something we do need to teach our children about, and how they can effectively communicate what they're feeling. Because a lot of times they have these big feelings and they're not sure how to handle it. And it would be important for them to understand the different types of mental spaces that people can be in as well.
As an expert in the realm of kindness and compassion and anti-bullying, what would you say is maybe the worst advice that you hear being given around the topic of compassion or anti-bullying?
I have still come across some students who outside of school have been encouraged to take on the bully and treat the bully the same way that they've been treated, which could obviously lead to disastrous results. So when it comes to these hairy and prickly situations, I do encourage children to rather go and report what they're seeing immediately to the closest adult, you know, as opposed to taking on the bully head on. If it's just a war of words, I think it is important that our children are encouraged to be assertive, to stand up tall and straight and stand their ground. But when it gets a little more difficult than that, it is important to encourage our children to, you know, find an adult and have the adult deal with it effectively.
No, that's really, really powerful advice. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. We're going to talk just real quick about some personal stuff, just fun, and then we're going to dive back in and wrap up the interview with some deeper questions. So the easier ones, outside of school, you know, what do you enjoy doing just for yourself? What recharges your battery?
Oh, absolutely, dancing. I take a dance class twice a week. I love to salsa, bachata, all of that. So that's pretty invigorating and an excellent way to dissipate some excess energy that I might have. Alternatively, I love to be out in nature. And, you know, whether it be hiking or horse trails, I simply love the sunshine and fresh air out there. Hopefully it starts warming up soon again so we can be out more. But for the most part, that's what I enjoy, is being physically active outdoors or on the dance floor.
All right, Eleni, you've basically made it. So now just last couple tougher questions to wrap up the interview.
Sure.
What message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just a day?
Quite frankly, I love my slogan, yes, I am a knight, I choose to do what's right. So, you know, just constantly encouraging children to make better choices, to make smart choices. Each of our children have a special gift within them. We need to be able to encourage them to find it and to share it with the world. And I do feel that the slogan fits in quite well with that, that they are a knight and they need to shine bright.
Awesome. And so this is it. You've made it. And I'm proud of you. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school? And what would be your top three priorities?
My dream school would definitely encompass elements of nature or nature itself. I do feel that children lead very sedentary lifestyles and that, you know, they do spend long hours behind their desks. So giving them a fun environment to exercise, to dissipate that excess energy that they may have, to test their muscles, because at the end of the day, movement is the door to learning. So having a fun playground for them to play in, climb trees. I know many people would be a bit nervous about that, but that's how I grew up, you know, being outdoors, being out in nature. So that's a big one for me, having that full sensory experience, incorporating nature into it. Other elements I'd like to include, as I mentioned earlier, are classes for emotional intelligence, teaching them about their emotions and the wide range thereof. And thirdly, have like a Zen den, or what I like to call Noko's Healing Huki, a little corner in the school where children and staff could take a moment to decompress as and when they need in order to help them regain balance and then go back into class feeling more balanced. So that's what I would like in the classroom or in the school.
That last idea is wonderful too. I think that could have powerful impact in schools across, you know, the world for sure.
Certainly, not just for students, for staff as well. Often they're feeling exhausted and overwhelmed and, you know, with a workload and dealing with what they need to deal with and deadlines. So I do feel it would be a very, very impactful tool for staff members as well.
Well, Lainey, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me would be through my website, nokothenight.com. My handle is @nokothenight. My email is eleni@nokoandfriends.com. And any parting advice I can give you is just keep shining brightly. The world needs your light. You are doing your best every single day, and you are appreciated for it. Our children need us, and I'm here to help serve the community as best I can.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Danny and Eleni. Head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Eleni in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Eleni, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you so much for this incredible opportunity. And listeners, I wish you a very blessed year ahead. Thank you.
Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.